Good morning, everybody.
First of all, I want to thank Gaddy. It's only this morning that I ran up to him, and he's...
Whatever is going to come out, going to come out. That's what we've got. Anyway, we are in our parsha. We're talking about Sfirat HaOmer. And there are a few interesting questions about Sfirat HaOmer. First of all, what does it mean? Why do I, every night, do again a bench again and again and again on the same thing? Is it one thing or is it divided to 49 things? And why don't we say Shehechiyanu? If you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do Shehechiyanu. And then, if it's one thing, I understand that if you by mistake didn't count one day, you cannot go on because it's a one thing. But if it's divided to 49 things, what's the problem? Okay, so I didn't count one day. I'll count again tomorrow. It's like this joke, I think I told you about it maybe last year or whatever, about this guy, you know, this rabbi, I don't know who it was, he came to this congregation that were not exactly very, very ultra-orthodox, let's say. And this guy wanted to show how religious he is, so he comes to the rabbi, you know, I heard that there is a minhag to eat dairy. So we eat blinches every night we eat cheese blinch. Says, okay. And what do you do if you forget one day to eat a blinch? So the next day I do it without blessing. So he doesn't bench. The next day it's not with no al bracha. Like in Sfirat HaOmer, if you miss one day, you cannot do the bracha anymore. So anyway. Anyway, we have to understand what's the idea behind it. And then also they tell us 49 days, but it's really 50 days. What? The Torah doesn't know what 7 times 7 is? Well, how did they get to 50? It's a very simple calculation. So all those questions are making us understand that there is something behind. Then, also very interesting point. Normally when I wait for something, and here we're waiting for what? For Matan Torah. So, if I wait for something, I would count, I've got 49 days, I've got 40 days, I've got 30 days. So somebody's in the army and he's waiting to be released, and especially it goes very slowly when it's the last few days, and he's counting, oh, I've got 4 days left, 2 days left. And here we're counting the opposite way. What's the idea? Ayom yom echad, ayom yom sheni, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's also very interesting. What's happening here? There is an interesting thing with Yaakov when he wants to marry Rachel, and Laban is telling him, you have to work for 7 years for Rachel. He says, okay, no problem. Now, does Yaakov want to marry Rachel? Yeah. Yes, he chose her. He wants her. So, when you want something, how is time going? Very slowly. And what is the Torah telling us? V'ayu be'enav keyamim achadim. How? It should be the opposite. That the days should be like years. And this guy is telling us, v'ayu be'enav achadim. And we all know that if we wait for something, it's taking, wow. It doesn't come. We want it to come. It's like the thing that it's like when you fast, and at the end hour of the fast, you know, we start counting the minutes. You know, wow, every minute looks like, wow, only 2 minutes? This was half an hour ago. What? 1 minute? And time really is slowing. As the closer you get, the slower it gets. So what is the idea behind this? Didn't Yaakov want to marry Rachel? Didn't he wait for this day? Of course he waited for this day. But Yaakov knew something else. He knew that in order, that he is not just married somebody who loves because of a physical love, materialistic love. This is a spiritual thing. This is a connection of two souls that are going to build Beit Israel. They are going to build Am Israel. And this, you don't just come like this and do whatever you do. You have to prepare yourself. Imagine to yourself somebody, we come to him telling you, see, we want you to build this house. Now we're going to pay you for every brick you put, we're going to pay you a certain amount. But you know what? Let's do it kablanut. You know kablanut? You build this, you get, for example, 50 million. Wow, sounds good. Now, how is now time going to go for this guy? He's waiting for the 50 million. It takes time. And the closer we get to the day, it's getting even slower. But let's do it differently. Let's tell him, every day you work, you get $1 million. Now, how is time going to fly? And how is he going to count? He's not going to count, I have to wait 40 days for the 50 million. No, today I got 1 million. Today I've got 2 million. Today I've got 3 million, 4 million, 5 million. Because each day has got a meaning. The point is, when we count the Omer, it's not just counting. If somebody thinks that he's just counting, big mistake. Every day of the Omer has to have a meaning. You have to build yourself. That's, by the way, the reason that we have, when you look at the Sefirat HaOmer, Chesed Shebagvura, Gvura Shebachesed, those are the seven Sefirot, 7 times 7, by the way, 49, and in each one of the seven, there is all the seven inside. This was, by the way, by the Kabbalah, is that you have to understand that the Klal has got all the Pratim inside. All the details are inside. And each one of the details has got the Klal. It's like today, when you take a cell from the body, you find all what you want of the whole body in it. That's the magic of the creation of God. So the same thing is with the Sefirot. The Sefirot are also built the same way. If we have the Sefirah of Chesed, so Chesed is the main issue, but you will also have in Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Yesod, all the others. That's the way it's built. That's the way human being is built. So now what we have to do, we have to find the combination, what does it mean? So we have 49 combinations. And those 49 combinations, by the way, there are books that are written about all those combinations and what they mean. And Chabad are also very strict about this. And every day, like they say, this is the day you have to work on chesed, on yourself, on chesed to your friends, on chesed in this way or whatever. So in other words, the sfira is not just counting. It's building. So if I build and I'm being successful with building it, I feel good. And when I feel good, every day goes quickly. Because I achieved something. It wasn't just another day. When I count days to get something, it's very slowly, because the important thing is not the days, it's what I'm waiting for. But here, you cannot get the Torah if you don't prepare yourself to get it. The same way with Yaakov. Yaakov, v'ayu be'enav k'yamim achadim, because he built himself and every day he felt, I did another good thing. I've got another $1 million. I've got another level of building myself, and I'm more prepared than yesterday to get married to Rachel and build the Jewish home. And this is the way we should feel in Sefirat HaOmer. And by the way, this is the way that from one point, it is one Sefira, because we have to build ourselves to achieve the stage of receiving the Torah. But on the other side, each day has got its own meaning. That's why if you forget one day, you lost something. And you cannot put something instead, because it has to be this day. It has to be this Chesed Shebagvura. You haven't got Chesed Shebagvura again. You have it only once. That's why it's so important. And in shul, normally, also in the morning, they mention Sefirat HaOmer. Why? Because even if you didn't do it yesterday, and you did it today without even the blessing, but whether it's a machloket also, if you can bless or not, but that's a different issue. But even if you did it this morning without doing the bracha, you still can go on with the counting with no problem. But if 24 hours you didn't mention Sefirat HaOmer at all, then you have a problem. Why? Because you're missing one day. It's like you're building a house, and you cannot build a penthouse before you build the floor underneath. You cannot just do it. It doesn't work. So the same way is Sefirat HaOmer. So this is why every day we do a bracha on the Sefira. And that's why if you look in the Sidurim, you will see that says, Yiratzon, Shemalevaleh, Bizchut. And if I missed something or did something wrong, in this certain, they have those two words in. Every day they are being changed. This is exactly the issue. So this is why We do bracha on every day. From the other side, why don't we do Shehecheyanu when we start this mitzvah? Because one of the opinions says that the whole Sfirat HaOmer is really the continuance of Pesach. So the first day was really the first day of Pesach. Or the last day is the day of Shavuot. And that's why it's 50. Lemochorat. It's the 49 days you count to get to the 50. So there is no problem with the calculation of the Torah. 7 times 7 is 49. Because it's 7 times 7 is 49, but you count in order to get to the 50th day. So this is why you have 50 yom. Atzeret yelachem. Atzeret is the 50th day. And also, we start this thing. That's why, by the way, you don't say Shehecheyanu also when you say on the last day of Pesach. Because it's a part of the whole thing. And exactly the same thing is Sfirat HaOmer. So you don't say Shehecheyanu on Sfirat HaOmer because that's a part of Pesach. This is how, I think the Rambam says it, long Chol HaMoed. And the Shmini Atzeret of Sukkot is Atzeret Yelachem. It's the same thing. Yes, it's a Chag Ba'atzmo, also Shmini Atzeret is a Chag Ba'atzmo, but still, it's a continuance of this. Let's say, this is very interesting, because you see, we start with the Korban, we talked about, we start with the Korban HaOmer, which is barley, which is food for animals. And then we proceed and we get to the Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem is from wheat, which is human being food. Though today, there is no... They eat everything today. You have bread from Pishtan, you have bread from, I don't know what they invent, but you have bread from all kinds, whatever you want. And well, by the way, if you went through Pesach, you have also this bread from Kemach Tapuche Adama, potato thing, which is very tasty, unbelievable. No, those who have to eat, by the way, those who have to eat it, yes, but those who don't have, okay. Anyway, so now, we understand why we don't say Shehecheyanu, why we do a bracha on every day, and why do we count 1, 2, 3, 4? Because it's not counting to get the Torah and that's it. It's every day, it's got a meaning. That's why today I did my shirt, so this is today, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. This is the way I'm building myself. And when we look at this unbelievable idea that really, you have to be joyful the whole time. So this time has to pass quickly. And as we said, and we cannot just talk about Sfirat HaOmer without mentioning it, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, also we talked about, we have to talk about it again, in order to make things in the right order and have everything together. Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva dying on Sfirat HaOmer. So some people think that Sfirat HaOmer is a sad thing, because we have Miktzat, and by the way, I always say, it's written, especially in Shulchan Aruch, Miktzat min hagei avelut. It's not written avelut, and that's it. Miktzat, a little. That's the idea. What is the idea? Do we count on Sfirat HaOmer to something terrible, or to something unbelievable? We want to get the Torah. This is, you have to be happy now. So why do we mourn on the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? And if we want to mourn on Talmidei Chachamim, you know, what no problem, you can mourn the whole year around. You can find every day a different Talmid Chacham and mourn on him. Sorry? Yes, well, every day we'll do. Whatever. So, what's the idea behind it? And why did the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva die on Sfirat HaOmer? Is there a connection? We saw it last week. Last week it's written, the after al-Hakamucha, says Rashi, that Rabbi Akiva says, זה כלל גדול בתורה. And to explain it, הלל הזקן אומר, מה ששנוי עליך, אל תעשה לחבריך, and that's the whole Torah. And all the others is like interpretation and explanation, you learn, but the basic is, ואהבת לרעך כמוך. So Rabbi Akiva is not only saying ואהבת לרעך כמוך is the basic, he also says something unbelievable, את השם אלוקיך תירא, that's what written. את is always telling us that there is something else. Now, what can you put near the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Can you put anything near the Kodesh Baruch Hu? And Rashi says, when he explained it, if Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have said it, I wouldn't even dare of thinking saying it. Says Rabbi Akiva, et Hashem Elokecha tira lerabot talmidei chachamim.
Unbelievable. Who can get to that level? Who? So he wants from his students to honor each other the same way they honor God, and also have kavod to each other at the same level. V'ahavta l'racha kamocha, kamocha. Who can get to that level? So don't think for a minute that Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were insulting each other and abusing each other. No. If we would have done what the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva did, we would get rewarded. So again, we don't go into this issue, but why now? Because that's exactly the point. V'ahavta l'racha kamocha is connected to Sfirat Ha'on. A tight connection. Why? Because normally we love ourselves. And the Torah wants us to love our fellow man. And when I'm counting and building myself, as I said, what can happen on the way? That I forget that I am, that there are other people. And by the way, it happens every day. That we are so concentrated in ourselves and building ourselves and doing ourselves and being successful ourselves that we forget that we have other people around us. I heard an amazing thing that a friend of us told us that they had a lecture last week, and a psychologist, whatever, is an expert about the connection between health and nerves, whatever you call it. And they checked and they saw that people that are angry, that are shouting, that are in competition, it makes the whole body inside works in, like it affects the heart, it affects everything. And they just show you all the scientific facts that they tested on people and what happened. And it was, she said, it was a very interesting lecture, etc., etc. And then he said, for example, when you are in a traffic jam and somebody, it happens very rarely, somebody goes on the side and tries to go the whole line. Doesn't happen here, no, not a lot. Very rarely. Or somebody just cutting you on the road. Also doesn't happen so much. And, you know, I'm saying also, it says avodat hamidot. You know what the best avodat hamidot is? If you can go on the road the whole day without getting angry, you are a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik. Here in Israel, if you go the whole day without shouting at somebody or not getting angry, you are a tzaddik. So anyway, while you're doing this, and like yesterday, I'm going on my way. The bus decided, he's a bus. He has the privilege to go wherever he wants. He decides to go to my line. But I'm there. And you know, you get very angry. So he says, this guy, every time that you get angry on the road, on this or that, you are damaging your body. There is a direct connection between the way you feel and the influence on your physical body. In other words, illnesses and all this comes from the same thing. So he says, if you can control your anger, you will see a very interesting point. And by the way, I tried it and it works. You think that you are going to get aggravated if you will let this guy to go in front of you. You try it and you will find out, not only you're not getting aggravated after you did it, you will feel good. It's interesting. Try it. So after this lecture, they're all in the parking lot, was all full with cars, and they're all going out. Now, after with the influence of the lecture, everybody is letting other ones to go. It took them 2 hours to get out of the parking lot. But they were all smiling. I hope so. Anyway, so it's the way we look at things. We are not alone. Now, if we would look at the society, that this guy with the car, he is like me. And by the way, sometimes, this week, for example, somebody damaged my car. No note, no nothing. And it's quite expensive car, and everything to fix it costs a lot of money. And you know, you think to yourself, how do you know, you, why don't you leave something? You see, you just damaged the car. Nothing. But then I thought to myself, what would I do in the same situation if nobody sees what I'm doing? It's an interesting question. By the way, I personally, I thought about it, I wouldn't leave the car. I just would put a sign, and I did it once, and tell him, I banged your car, please phone me if there is any problem. But We have to think like this, because sometimes God is doing those things in us in order for us to fix ourselves, to adjust ourselves a little better. So I'm trying now for a few days already. If somebody wants to cut me, okay, bakasha, bakasha. The truth is, I feel very good, but I must say, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. I don't know. Feel good, no good, you know, you have your ego. You know, your ego works all the time, unfortunately. But that's the truth. And that's the idea of Sfirat HaOmer. To build ourselves. So everybody can take a different mission, to do something different. Somebody can take on himself, like, for example, to... Korban Todah. We have in our parsha Korban Todah. What is Korban Todah? Lirtzonchem tizbechu. Sorry. If you already bring, say thank you to God, bring a sacrifice, wouldn't you do it from your own, for your own will? Otherwise, you don't bring that for sacrifice at all. So what is the meaning? Lirtzonchem. What's the idea? The idea is very simple. Because sometimes we think that we don't have to say thank you. Oh, you know, we say thank you, latzet yedei chova. Okay, we did it, we say thank you. By the way, the hardest thing to say thank you is to our people around us. It's very easy to say thank you to somebody that you don't know. Thank you. But to say thank you to the wife who prepares everything for you every day, I don't know how many people say every day thank you to the wife. Or even to the children, whatever. Or children to the parents. Do we say thank you? That's Korban Todah, that's the idea. They say that Mizmor LaTodah, which is instead of the Korban Todah, is going to be forever. The same as Korban Todah. When the Korbanot is going to be cancelled, for example, Korban Todah will stay. The same way Mizmor LaTodah will stay. And you know, it's a very interesting halacha that I really didn't know. You know, maybe I saw it. You know the way you should say Mizmor LaTodah? Standing up? Anything else? Shulchan Aruch says, you have to say it singing.
What?
You have to sing it. You have to sing. It's unbelievable. Did you see anybody singing Mizmor LeTodah? Mizmor LeTodah, or being happy, or understanding what he's even saying? Nothing. And this is halacha, very interesting halacha. I couldn't believe it. I checked it again to see if I'm seeing right, and yes, that's written. Mizmor LeTodah, you have to say Beneima, Benegina. Shulchan Aruch. Because Mizmor, it's a basic. To be thankful. You know, sometimes we don't see why, what. Sometimes we see things in a different way. And we have to understand, you should always look at things in a good eye. I don't know if I told you this story. It's a very good story. There was this king who wanted a picture of himself. So they did a competition and one of the painters won the competition. They took him to a room, the king was sitting, he was painting him, and then the king went and he did all the fixing. A month later he finished this, and of course they do a whole big thing. There are announcements everywhere, on television, radio, papers, and everybody's invited to see the picture. And everybody's coming in this big hall, and the king comes, you hear the trumpets, and the king comes with the limousines and everything. He goes into this hall, and on the stage, on one side is the king chair, the throne, and on the other side you have this big canvas covered with a curtain, the picture, and the king sits down, everybody sits down, and the king says, oh, Ravakasha. And the guy takes the curtain, and they see the king exactly as he is. Unfortunately, the king had his right eye missing, and his right arm, and he was also very short. And exactly, that was a picture. The king looks at the picture. This is the way you see your king? Hang! They hanged him. Everybody's like, what does he want, this king? So a month passes by, and the king still hasn't got a picture. He wants a picture. So what is he doing? Again, the same thing. Now, the much less painter going on this competition, because, you know, they saw what happened in the first one. You don't know what to do. Anyway, eventually somebody is getting the job. He's doing the same thing, he's looking at the king, he's painting. Well, after a month, it says the king, the picture is ready, they announced it, and of course now, the hall is full, because everybody wants to come and see what's going to happen now. The king comes, trumpets, balagan, everything, he comes in. sits, everybody's sitting, said Bevakasha. He reveals the curtain, reveals the picture, and unbelievable picture. You see the king, tall, two eyes, two arms, really a beautiful picture. The king looks at it. What, you're insulting my intelligence? Is this me? You are a liar! Hang him! Don't know what to do. Again, okay. A month passes by. The picture, he wants a picture of the king. He's still doesn't want a picture. What do you do now? Again. Who goes into competition now? Nobody. Who wants to be killed? Whatever you do, you're going to be hanged. So who is stupid enough to do this? So a month passes by, nobody comes. Another month, so the king raises up the price. The reward is now unbelievable. But still, nobody wants to commit suicide. Nobody wants to be killed. Comes this tourist, one of the days, he looks and he sees those big signs. $1 million to paint the pictures of the king. Wow. Competition, wow. I'll go to this. And of course, what do you think, he won or not? He won, he was the only one there. Nobody came. So he's going, the day comes, the ministers of the king come to take him to the place, and while he goes in the street, people looking at him, like they look at me like he's dead. And I said, what's going on here? Later, the way they look at him, like, he says, well, what's wrong? So didn't tell what happened to the to the two other painters that painted the... She says, no, what happened? They tell him, but no, it's too late. You know, he's in it. He cannot run away. So he goes to the room, the king sees, he paints him, and then a month later, announcement, believe me, the streets are full. You cannot move. Everything is full. You know, you have televisions everywhere, reporters from all over. They come from abroad to see what's going to happen with this painter. The king wants to get to the hall. You know, hardly can go there. They have the police making a way because, you know, they're everywhere. They have big screens outside. Eventually, trumpets and things. He gets there. He sits and the painter stands near his painting covered with a curtain and says, the king says, Fakasha. He reveals the picture. You see the king on a hunting, how do you say hunting, hunting what? He goes hunting on a horse, a very tall horse, and he's from the forefront, from the left side. So you see his good eye looking onto the distance and the good arm holding the rifle. You don't see this side where he's missing the hand and the eye. And he looks so tall because he's on a horse. So he looks much taller than everybody. The king looks at the picture, starts clapping. Everybody's clapping and he gets him double the reward. Unbelievable. That's the way to see your king. You know, if you think about it, it is so clever. The way we look at things, it's very easy to look at the wrong things, what you haven't got. It's very easy to look at God, what did he do to me here and there? It's very hard to see the good side of things. It's also very easy to be, a hypocrite and tell, wow, he looks unbelievable. Everything is, sugar and honey and everything is good and sweet. But the real truth is that you need to see the truth, but the good truth. You have to look at the good side of life. Ayin tova. That's when you say thank you to somebody. It's very easy, you know, especially those who are close to you. He did me this, he did that. Because we are close, so we feel much. Everything small thing that is being done to us, we take it personally. And this is the wrong side. We have to look at the good thing. We have to look at the good side. So it will be easier for us to say thank you. The way to look at things is to see always the bright side, the good side of things, to have Ayin Tova. And even now, if we think about God is all good. But unfortunately, not every time we see it. I'm writing now on Shabbos, for example. I was looking for a warehouse a few months ago because I had a problem with a logistic firm I'm working with. They did me a lot of damages. And it got to a point that the customer didn't get their stuff in time. And it was terrible, terrible situation. You think to yourself, well, what should I do? What can I do? So we had to find a warehouse. And we're looking for, or it's far away, or it's too expensive. And We almost closed on one of the warehouses we saw, and then we thought to ourselves, 1 minute, you know what? We're going to phone to the guy who was in charge of the logistic firm that we used to work with, and we, of course, stopped working with him, and not exactly in a good way. But he says, well, what can happen? Well, phone him. Maybe he knows that, you know, he's in this field. Maybe he knows a warehouse. And you know, he finds us a warehouse near us, very reasonable price, and unbelievable, and everything changed. And you think to yourself, you know, sometimes we see the good that God is doing to us. Sometimes we don't. When we say l'rtzonchem tizbechu, when you bring a sacrifice of thanks to God, you're also thanking God not only about the good he did to you now, or that he saved you. You're also supposed to thank him about the tzara you had, about the problem you had. Because the problem lead to the, let's say, to the good. And here, like here, when it happened to us, we thought, wow, what are we going to do? But then it turned out that because of what happened, we are now functioning much better than ever. And believe me, this is the way God works. But not always we see it. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't see it. So what is the Torah telling us? Especially on those, this korban that you're bringing, thanking God. Don't forget for a minute that everything is being done by God. So you can say to yourself, oh God, God saved me, but he is the one who put me in the problem. So why should I say thank you? Thank you for what? You hit me and then you hug me? Don't hit me and don't hug me. Let's stay away from each other. But God wants only the good for us. So sometimes he has to make things difficult for us. And then we do the right thing. Or we pray, or we do, or we fix whatever was wrong. And then he saves us. So we normally say thank you about saving us. We don't normally say thank you for the problem you put us into. But the idea of Korban Todah is to understand and realize that everything is good. I know, it's not easy. That's why in this Korban is written, L'rtzonchem tizbechu. You should do it from your own will, from the whole heart. Because sometimes you don't understand why it happened to you. But if you know and believe in God, you understand that everything that is being done is only for the good. So this is the way to bring a sacrifice of Todah. Now, when we build ourselves on Sfirat HaOmer, in our parasha is also saying Kiddushim, also talking about Kiddush Hashem. By the way, it's a very interesting story with the father of the Rav Lau, that there is a question when Kiddush Hashem, are you allowed to sacrifice on Kiddush Hashem, yes? Your children that are not at the age of mitzvah. Not bar mitzvah, yes, or not bat mitzvah. And it's a very interesting thing, because if the mitzvah is on the human being, on the gavra, what we say, so if you're not bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, you cannot just sacrifice your kids. They are not bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is on the heftza, on the idea of Kiddush Hashem, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what age it is, you have to do it. It's a very interesting issue. Now, what is interesting, that the Rav Lau from Petyakov, was the Rav of Petyakov, he wrote a book on Kiddush Hashem by kids. And the only page that was left of it came in a certain way here to Israel and got to the Rav Israel Lau. And the interesting thing is that the Rav Israel Lau in the Holocaust was a kid and he did Kiddush Hashem. And he is the one who went on to be a rabbi here in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz HaKodesh, going on with the chain of Rabbonim for many, many generations, though with all the things that happened to him and to his family in the Holocaust. So it's an unbelievable thing that Dafka, his father, writes on Kiddush Hashem of kids. And his kid that grows up comes here to Eretz Israel and becomes the chief rabbi of Eretz Israel, and now the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. It's really unbelievable. That's the story of Am Israel. And this is the story to understand and realize, not everything we understand. There are a lot of things we don't understand. It's like they ask this guy, tonight we'll have the Yom HaZikaron. We have to understand what we're doing here. We're Baruch Hashem, we're here in Eretz Israel, in Eretz HaKodesh. But people gave their life for this country. People gave their life for us to live here in peace and quiet. Not so peace and quiet, but Baruch Hashem, we've got everything here. Unbelievable. Talking about Torah, I don't think that there was ever in history so much Torah being learned in the Jewish nation the way it is today. Everywhere you have you come here to learn Torah. Yeshivas everywhere, shuls everywhere, kosher food everywhere, everything, Baruch Hashem. Who should we say thank you? To those who gave their life for us. And they gave their life for what? For us to just enjoy life, or to say thank you to God, or to understand what we're doing here. What is the reason? It's like, I don't know if I told you, this the Rav Sela is a guy. He's guiding people in the Kotel HaMaravi, and he got his kids from the fifth grade, and they go into the Kotel. And after the class didn't come, and those who came with him, and asking them, you know what Shema Yisrael is? You want to say Shema Yisrael? They didn't know what Shema Yisrael is. They didn't know what Shema Yisrael is. This is something the Jews gave their life saying it, Shema Yisrael. And we here in Eretz Yisrael have children that don't know what is Shema Yisrael. This is our job. This is Va'avta Lo Yerecha Kamocha. This is Sfirat HaOmer. This is saying thank you to God. While you do this, don't forget you're not alone. You're not being used, you're building all Am Yisrael. And when you do this, then you find a way to help others to understand what is being Jewish. You know, Napoleon said, a nation with no past has got no future. We have a past, a glorious past. That idea of the past is not to live in the past, of course, but to go to the future, but with the past. That's our power. If you lose your past, you lose everything. You've got nothing. So while we do the Sfirat HaOmer Be'ezrat Hashem, and we're going in today in Yom HaZikaron, to remember, we are privileged. We are here in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. And we won the lottery being here. But people paid for us to be here. And they want us to do the job. And our job is to let everybody know what it is to be Jewish, to be proud being Jewish, to be proud to say Shema Yisrael, to be proud to say thank you to God. Thank you. Thank you.